Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is going on, you guys? Welcome in. It is June 15th, 2024. It's a Saturday night, which means Colliders Assemble here on the Fightful YouTube channel. Rick Uccino, Chris the Star. Iridian's got the night off this week. She could not be here for the one-year anniversary, Cresta. Like, come on. And I say that as somebody who's missed like 75% of the shows from October on. Like, this was a special moment.
We have to have a celebration next week. We all got to put on our little tiny top hats, all three of us, and watch next week. One of us is like, yeah, actually, my goldfish are drowning, so I can't do it.
It always seems to be some kind of last minute thing. Look, this just goes to show Sean's great wisdom. He knows stuff happens on Saturday night, so that's why he assembled a three-team panel thinking, okay, my odds are better that 66% of these guys are going to be available on a weekly basis. So, hey, we're all here. We're a rotating commentary desk. Tonight you got me. You got Cresta. We appreciate everybody who's joining the show. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. We got a lot to talk about tonight. And we'll start off with Patchy Rick sending in a humper chat. Sending in an appropriately named humper chat to acknowledge Nigel's eating Brie line tonight. His ability to rib is Hall of Fame worthy. That was good.
Nigel was on it. Nigel told Tony Schiavone, who was like, bro, that's how facts work. And he said, you could prove anything with facts, Tony.
Don't come at me with your facts.
He was so flat. His flabbers were definitely gassed. Like, yo, who hired this? How? I feel bad for Tony Schiavone working next to that guy every week.
here's my question, right? Who hates who more? Because you have Nigel and his obsession with Bryan Danielson. But after watching Wade Barrett on commentary and the post show today, just ripping one into Phil from Chicago, I don't know who hates who more. I want to lean into Nigel just because like it's like an every week kind of thing with him, but man, Wade just cannot let some Nexus shit go.
I mean, I wasn't watching wrestling at the time personally, but I too would be a little bitter if one guy who no one saw but beat all five of us beat my team. I too would have some resentment. But I am going to say it is Nigel, only because Nigel's been calling this man all types of names, all types of clam diggers for a year. And at this point, for a year, because it is the year anniversary. At this point, if it doesn't result in Danielson versus Nigel for the retirement match, loser has to go dig up some clams. I don't want it.
So, I know it's kind of like one of those lean into things, but like, I almost want the same thing with Wade Barrett. Like, if he wants to make this a thing, I want to see Barrett come off the commentary desk and wrestle one final time. Like, I've always been wanting to see Barrett come out for the Royal Rumble appearance, right? But like, I want to see, I kind of want to see him and Punk throw down. Like, I think there's so much that you could dive into there with the history of those guys if they want to work with one another. That's always going to be a thing with CM Punk, right? But regardless, it's great. They're both fantastic on their commentary jobs, by the way. They're both great. They can stay there if they want.
I agree, but I also feel that way about Nigel. At this point, Nigel, I know you used to wrestle. Lace up those boots, old man. Put the magic cards away.
I feel like it has to happen. At this point. So we do open up the show with the Blackpool Combat Club. They defeat Rocky and Leo and TMDK. First off, if it was sticking with the commentary theme, shout out to Tony Schiavone, because him shouting swing like he used to do with Sting, that absolutely popped me on this one. I'm not sure if that's the first time that he's done that or not, but that's the first time I heard it, and it was absolutely spectacular. And I love the fact that Claudio and Mox, who aren't like, you don't look at them as like the Earth Giant, like the Big Show Kane types, but the fact that they got to do the Big Show Kane type spots with Leo Rush tonight, because he's a wee man, he's a tiny guy. That was great. That was a fun little finish where Claudio just said, "Here, have this man," and just chucks him up in the air, and then Mox catches him and Death Valley Driver, and this one was over. I did think this was a fun opener that continues to make the Blackpool Combat Club look really, really strong, Cresta.
I feel like I didn't see Moxley at all in this match, especially when we came back from picture in picture when they had that big brawl, and then Moxley came out of nowhere. It was just like beating everyone up. Leo Rush back in AEW continues to, it's one of those things where it's like, why did we not do anything with him the first time around? He's so fast. He's so fluid. He's clearly not the same guy that he was before. I got to also give a shout out to Wheeler Yuta. You just got back, and him trading slap for slap with Rocky Romero. Also want to give a shout out one more time to the big splash on Moxie from Leo Rush. And I mean, it didn't really do anything. The pickup to the toss over to the Death Valley Driver on Leo Rush from John Moxley, disgusting. John Moxley's one of those people who's like, you tell me I have to wrestle him, much like Deonna Purrazzo, much like Thunder Rosa, you better give me the finger poke of doom and
I'm out. I'm done.
I'm on the floor.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, having been in the ring for, you know, a period of time, I know I ain't tough enough to handle this stuff on a regular basis, let alone these people who actually lay their shit in. Like, I couldn't even take a fake drop kick, like, let alone like actually like take an elbow or a running, you know, clothesline from somebody. F that. Like, no.
Imagine working with someone with the softest hands in the game, like a Nick Nemeth, Dolph Ziggler, apparently one of the pillow hands. I'd be hecked. Now imagine have to go in there against Dax the Axe, who's really gonna hit you with the hell. No. Yep. Nah. Yep.
Frying pans for hands. Yeah, no, I'm good on that. I think my only complaint about this match is the fact that Leo Rush was the one who ate the pin. And then I wouldn't care, but like with the spot that Leo had at the end of it, you know, with the end of the show and with him still being heavily involved, this is just a nitpicky thing on me. I think he could have gone with somebody else who could eat the pin in this situation.
Agree. I think Shane Haste could have eaten the pin because Mikey Nichols was really doing stuff, or Rocky Romero, but Rocky Romero always give.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. No, for sure. Make sure to get those super chats in. Get your humper chats in, guys. We really, really appreciate it. Supports the fine team over here at Fightful. Thank you guys so much for the support. Guaranteed only way to get your comment read on the air, and our excellent moderator, Drew, will make sure I read every single one of them some bitches before we get off the air tonight. Now, after the match, Mox grabs a mic, and real quick, shout out to Claudio. We all need a best friend like Claudio Castagnoli in this business. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you missed it, and I don't need to dive into the details of it, but everybody needs a friend like this man. Mox grabs the microphone and says he's not coming to Forbidden Door just to have a match. He's not coming to just defend a championship, but no, he wants to murder and bury a man at Forbidden Door in Naito. This is his last shot at the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, and he is going to end this man. I forget who I was talking about. I want to say this is my, So my quick short little story here. My GM at the radio station was flying back 2 weeks ago from Salt Lake City, and he's sitting up in first class, and the guy he ended up sitting next to was John Moxley. So he's sitting next to John Moxley on a flight back from Salt Lake City, and they didn't talk a whole lot, and he's not a wrestling fan, mind you, but after he found out who he was and just the way that Mox carries himself and he presents himself, he sat there talking to me about how this is a dude that I just never would want to meet in a back alley somewhere.
And come I'm just on like, now. Come on now.
And I'm like, yeah, you needed to, you should hear him talk one day. This is the kind of shit that makes me go, I don't want to see John Moxley in a back alley somewhere. I don't want to piss this man off ever. And if I do, I am bending the knee and I am kissing whatever ring he has and I am begging for forgiveness. And hopefully he doesn't shove his knee into my freaking septum.
Not you saying if he ever threatened me like that, I would hit like, gotta go, country roads.
Nah, like, see, here's the thing. Like, if Mox was pissed off to the point where violence was going to be ensued, like, why even run? Like, I'm just going to die tired. Like, that's all that's going to happen in that situation.
You know what?
But
you
I did like this promo.
Favor, Mox. I don't want to pay bills. I'm tired of paying taxes. You do it me a solid. You'll take me out right quick.
I did like this promo. What'd you think of it, Krista?
I did like it as well. And I'm thinking, like, wow, that's a lot of words for Naito. Wouldn't it be a gag? Funny even if Naito beats you?
It was kind of surprising to see Mox win the title in the first place. I think it would. I genuinely don't know. I genuinely don't know if Moxley's going to retain this bad boy.
I wouldn't hate him dropping it just because I feel like right now New Japan is in a rebuilding phase. They got a lot going on.
Yeah.
So to have one of their championship belts be there on the show. And I'm not saying that Moxie doesn't go over there and defend, because he absolutely does. But it'll be a good chance to build it up with somebody over there. That's my thought process on it. This gives Moxie more time to focus on AEW, which right now is also in a rebuilding phase. They got the 1 year with Collision. MJF just came back. So there's so much for Moxley to do that in this case, I'm like, I wouldn't mind it. And especially after all those words, Naito, now you... Not say you gotta kill him, but no, you gotta.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. It's wrestling. I mean, heck, TNA murders somebody every other week. So,
bro,
you know.
I just saw old girl get beheaded, and then just to be a dream. TNA, y'all, if y'all watch TNA and you like murder porn, that's the wrestling show for you.
Jesus, somebody in the chat asking me to ask Mox about Mitch the Plant and how he's doing. I dare you. I have actually spoken with Renee about Mitch the Plant, though, and he is long dead and buried. R.I.P. Mitch the Plant. That's how Mitch the Plant is doing. We got a super chat here from Roberto Arsenal saying, not one name in the Owen Cup is average, all banger so far. Yeah, we did get Hikaru Shida. Who said she was going to be coming back and joining into the Owen Hart Cup, which made me do a little happy dance because I need more of her on my TV screen at all times. We had the Acclaimed come down to the ring. They're all business tonight, Cresta. No rap, no placating to the crowd, no scissors, no nothing. They get down to the ring and they are speaking directly to the Young Bucks. Now, I can't understand what they're saying to the Young Bucks because every other word that Max said got bleeped out. So maybe he went a little too far with the verbiage that he used, seeing as most of it couldn't be said on television. Then Anthony grabs the microphone and says that the tag team titles, they want those back. This says that the Young Bucks faced them 4 years ago. They aren't the same team. They got all the same accolades as the Young Bucks, which, I mean, kind of, but really?
That was Cat. I was going to let him rob. I was going to let him finish. That was Cat.
Okay. All right. Wait. Hey, as long as you believe it, that's what really matters. Whatever you got to do to hype yourselves up. We get Brandon Cutler, who then comes down and issues yet another fine. By the way, I forgot to mention the fact that Anthony Bowens was fined earlier today, $5,000 for disparaging Matthew and Nicholas. Brandon Cutler comes down and issues another fine, this time $10,000. But then we get Christopher Daniels, who runs down and then says via Tony Khan, those fines have been rescinded. And then Cutler, in what he does best, Cresta, he gets his ass beat. The man got smacked with a clipboard, Cresta. Like, tell me you don't respect somebody without telling me you don't respect somebody if you're just going to smack a man with a clipboard.
Justice for Brandon Cutler. I will say, Brandon Cutler went from wearing that stupid tracksuit to now that tracksuit is a vest, a double-breasted vest, which I might add. So I see the branding. Justice for Brandon Cutler.
Yeah, but all it led to was a double-breasted ass-kicking. Like, that's all.
You know what it's fucking for. Every time he come down there, you know what is about to happen. He about to say something on behalf of Matthew and Nicholas, who don't want to get into a fist fight. So one Brandon comes down, followed by Mr. Fallen Angel, who's actually corporate Fallen, CM Angel over here. Yeah. Like, hey, you can't do this because I'm the avatar for one Anthony Khan, and you're the avatar for one Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. I kind of don't care for the authority figures. That's just me. But also, again, justice for Brandon Cutler. He doesn't deserve to get beat up.
He does his job well.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Like, he does, and that's the problem.
it's almost like he gets his ass kicked too well, because then they just want to keep doing it. And look, yes. If they made this a weekly staple on Collision, where we get 3 minutes of him getting his ass beat, like, I'm cool with it. Like, at the
Brandon
end of the day,
Brandon Cutler is the kid who's trying to be the hall monitor because no one wants to be the hall monitor because no one likes the hall monitor, and he's trying to do a good job. He's like, well, class started 3 minutes. Why are you beating me up? That's Brandon Cutler.
Yeah, he just does it because he thinks he's going to look good on his college resume. Yeah, I like that guy.
It's third grade, Brandon.
We got Ender saying up there with a rolled up magazine. Yeah, that would almost be worse. Actually, I think the least disrespectful thing, who was it that got hit in the back of the head with an iPad and lost a match? Was that Andrade? Did they do that to Andrade?
Oh my God.
I think that happened in Cincinnati. I think I was at that show. I think Chavo hit him with an iPad and he lost.
Jesus, it's wrestling. I love wrestling. That just reminds me of the time when Chris Statlander ran down the ramp and smacked Stokely Hathaway in the back of his head, like,
oh, that was good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo. Whoo! This match was everything that I wanted it to be. This was clearly, you know, this was personal. This was hard hitting. These two went at one another. There was some, I can't think of the word I'm trying to think here, but just some unique spots put in this. Thunder Rosa using the table as a ramp to jump up. First off, the guts that it took to do that, because who knows if that table is going to cooperate, because that could have looked bad. That could have ended badly. But she puts a trash can over over Deanna's body, throws her in the corner. She runs up the table perfectly, jumps off of it flawlessly, gets hella air, and then hits a dramatically impacted drop kick. That looks so damn good. I loved that spot. One of my favorite spots of recent memory in a no disqualification match. And then it almost got topped, Cresta, when Deanna just straight up kicked the cameraman and the boys, right? In the boys in his Dalton Castle, and then grabbed his camera and smashed it over Deanna's face. And then put her in the Venus, and she was out. She's passed out to win the match. Those were two really, really good spots. I enjoyed this match a lot.
This match was booked for Cresta the star. I had such a good time. That shotgun rant, that was some Tony Hawk shit. Like, that was that was so good. And again, the first Venus De Milo, she put Thunder Rosa in. I was like, you gonna break that girl's arms. Mm. You gotta get the shoulder could go back this way. But she was like, crisscross applesauce, like, and it was punching a girl in the head. I was like,
Is Thunder Rosa double jointed? Because I swear I saw some joints sticking out where, like, they shouldn't.
Nah. It's the Kinesio tape and the specter of Bob Backlund. She's all right. She'll walk it off. She'll be all right. No, this match was phenomenal. I have always been a fan of Deanna Purrazzo since I was introduced to her in TNA. And this reminds me of one of her matches with Chelsea Green when it was her versus Decay. Like, Deanna gives it up in the ring. That ending shot, the visual was gnarly. The Venus De Milo with her legs within a small of Rosa's back. And Rosa's passed out. Oh, my God. I tweeted this earlier, but I will do the same. I don't know if you're listening, one Anthaford Khan, but you like this girl? Blood and guts for the women. You like this girl? Blood and guts for the women. Blood and guts for the women. Because I want to see that. I need that expeditiously. What I got to do to trick you? Don't look over here. Blood and guts for the women. Don't look over here. Blood and guts for the women. Like, I'll do whatever it takes.
I mean, look, they got some tough ladies. They got more than enough.
Bro, that match alone should be like, if these two could give it up like that, and I already know how Britt Baker gives it up. Miss Britt Baker, who with the face full of blood. Jamie, hey, come on.
Like, and don't forget that she was fighting Thunder Rosa in that match, too. So Thunder Rosa need to be in that match. Look, if Britt's ready to come back, great. I'm ready to see her on TV again. But only if she's healthy and ready to compete. Mm-hmm. Same with Jamie Hayter. At the same time, though, we got Thunder Rosa back. That is a tough woman. All right, yes, like she thrives in these matches. And
I don't want to be that guy, but I got to put this up here too. Borderline.
Yes.
Illegal.
What?
Borderline. Yes. Illegal. Illegal. That Athena in Blood and Guts. And now if Athena doesn't win, I need to talk to somebody. I don't know who I need to talk to, but.
Look, I appreciate Athena for being like the main staple on Ring of Honor and being the constant on Ring of Honor, because she's like the only champion that we don't see on regular AEW television, like, at all. Like, I'm open about this. I don't watch a whole lot of Ring of Honor because Thursday is my night off from wrestling. That's the one night of the week I give myself off from wrestling, so I don't watch it a whole lot. But has Mark Briscoe been on Ring of Honor since he won the freaking championship? I mean, he's fighting for the TNT title at Forbidden Door, for crying out loud. Like,
I will say that is something that they complain about the cross when we do the crossover for TNA and Ring of Honor, is that a lot of Ring of Honor champions are on AEW. Look at your trios champion. I see them all up and down AEW. Athena,
well, they unified
is your
those belts now.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, for what? Like, Ring of Honor is over here struggling. All you do is take.
You ain't wrong. So, as I was saying, I respect Athena for being that constant. But damn it, man, I want her on AEW television on a regular basis. Wednesdays and Saturdays. Please, please, and thank
you. Preferably Saturday when I can cover it for work. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I would agree with that. Guys, make sure to get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. That's a guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air tonight. We did get a Dalton Castle sighting tonight. I'm always a fan of that. He took on Hechicero, who gets the win pretty quickly with a twisting leg drop. I would have liked to have seen this match go much longer. This seemed like it was a really easy, really quick win. I hate seeing Dalton take that kind of an L. Gates of Agony attack him after the match. The boys try to help him out. They get quickly dispatched. And then we get Daniel Garcia and Daddy Magic coming down to make the save. Did I miss something here? I've been in and out here for a little bit. Like I was kind of like, what's going on? Why would they be the ones that,
something, Gates of Agony, something. You know what? Wrestling. to quote some bald asshole on the internet, why?
I'm sure there's an explanation for it, and I'm sure there was something that happened with Gates of Agony and Daniel Garcia and Daddy Magic. I just can't remember it, or I missed it, or I don't know. There's a missing piece of the puzzle that I would like to see here. I will say, though, I didn't enjoy this because of the treatment of Dalton Castle, because I'm a fan of his, and I'd like to see.
I love Dalton Castle too. I think Dalton Castle and Brian Keith should be in a tag team to see whose pants can go higher. I'm sorry to make you spit out your. and also Scott George saying the boys are our roars from the last time I saw them. You saw the boys and you also saw the Outrunners. So those jacked boys were the Outrunners. Because at first I was like, is this Meat Mountain? This is the Boulder.
Usually if you're on roids, the opposite happens to the boys. So, you know, they would have shrunk, you know. So
I see what you did there. You know, me as a juicer myself, you look at these two-inch pythons, I can attest that my grapefruits are the size of raisins.
We get Leo Rush backstage, his second appearance of the night. He wishes Dante Martin all the best in his luck, all the best of luck in his match. I can talk against Lee Moriarty. I honestly completely forgot about the history between these guys. This was back with Leo's. What I think Leo signed like a 3-month contract or something like that with AEW. He was in and then he was out and then it was, yeah, bye bye. We didn't really him until
he went to TNA, he retired again and came back, and you know, here we are.
Yeah, okay, there we go. I was really looking forward to this one. Christian's Father's Day special.
Before you get into that, here's my 2 cents. This was a circle jerk for Christian. There you go.
Look, every promo of his is a circle jerk for Christian. I mean, let's be honest, that doesn't mean it's not fantastic for the rest of us who get to witness it. Anyway, so first off, Christian did a babyface turn for me when he shit on the town of Youngstown, because as he should, it's an absolutely terrible place. But regardless, he opens this thing up by talking about how it's the anniversary of Buddy Wayne's passing, untimely passing, the biological father of Nick Wayne. And he says, Cresta, that, you know, that. When you lose a father at a young age, it can have all kinds of lasting impacts. You don't really know how it's going to affect you. But damn it, if it wasn't the best thing that ever happened to Nick, because it brought him to Christian. And then he told him, I love you, son, as we get the cat run in here. But
what an opener. Who opens the line with, I'm sorry your dad died, but good thing your dad died.
I did not hear him say I'm sorry.
You're right. I'm giving this man more courtesy. But that was a crazy line. It's the untimely passing of your father's death, but it brought you to me. That's crazy.
Not only is he saying that to the man's son, he's saying it to his wife, to his widow.
Yo, bro. He needs to be stopped. Maybe it's time for Nigel to take on the true hater.
He loves Christian Cage. He absolutely loves him.
He does love Christian Cage.
Nick gives Christian a poorly written Father's Day card with a scratch out and like a they even like drew a line, like fill in the blank here, and he wrote TNT champion on it. So it was a piss poor Father's Day card. Luchasaurus then unveils this like masterful painting that looked like a Mel piece. And I hope it was a Mel piece because she does fantastic work. But he unveils this and Christian's like, wow, did you do that yourself? It's okay. And then he moves on. And he's like, starts talking about how great Nick's card was and how he's a wordsmith. And then he asked Killswitch. The freaking Youngstown crowd chanting Luchasaurus got me going back to his old name there. But Killswitch goes to leave after Christian asks this man why can't he be more like Nick. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, I'm starting to get how I feel about Otis and Chad Gable is how I'm feeling about Killswitch and Christian. Like, I am just waiting for this dinosaur to eat his master and then move on and complete the babyface turn at this point.
Bro, he's a dinosaur. Why hasn't he mauled him already? I make a lot of lizard jokes, but at this point, take your little dinosaur hands, crack open that man's skull and eat his brains. I've had it.
Strangle that man with his own turtleneck. Like, what are we waiting for? The opportunity, like, what do you think Nick Wayne is going to do to you? Nothing. There's nothing stopping you.
You know what this reminds me of, and I don't know why. Do you watch Anime Rick by any chance?
No, I don't.
All right, well.
Unless Bluey counts.
The life and times of a parent. Does Bluey count? How about Wonder Pets? No, there's a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. There is a scene in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure episode 4 where this one person is stomping out this person. Somebody else takes a drink of their wine and then they all go stomp out this person. That's what's going to happen to Christian Cage eventually. They're all just going to stomp. Mama Wayne is going to be like, wow, this is a great wine. Get this man.
Christian, I guess this is a gift of some kind. Basically, he says he's not done, right, chasing the AEW world title. He says that he came up short in his bid against Swerve, but that there was a different angle. There was footage that exists that showed that his shoulder was up at the end of that match. Footage that the Young Bucks were willing to show, but Christian does not make excuses. They do not make excuses in that family, so they're not going to show that footage. And he's going to work his way back to becoming the AEW World Champion. And the first step in that process, because this makes sense, is his family's going to win the Trios titles. Okay, sure. That was his gift to his family. And then, to close things out, Christian claims that Tony Khan is now his son. Christian is Tony Khan's father. AEW is now his company, and the patriarchy is taking over everything, or taking everything, I guess.
Nicki Minaj is going to sue for gimmick infringement because she says, you bitches are my sons. And that's what Christian Cage just said. That's what I choose to believe. And I'll be taking no further questions on this at this time.
I did enjoy this. Again, the whole, I'm going to win the AEW world title. And the first step is we're going to go after the Trios titles. It just, I don't know. That wasn't exactly like something that made a whole lot of sense to me. It kind of took me out at the moment there. I was on board with everything that was happening until that point. I'm just like, oh, well, okay.
Again, this was a circle jerk. And normally I will say Christian Cage and MJF promos are circle jerks for themselves, and that's fine. But this was more than normal. And at this point, I'm ready for Killswitch Luchasaurus to maul this man. I'm ready. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready.
I'm 100% with you. Continue to get your super chats in, get those humper chats in, guys. That is the only way to guarantee to get your comment read on the air today. I will read every single one of them before we get out of here. But first things first, we got our good buddy Sean Rossap, who wants to stop by for a quick sec.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football. It's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag. That's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
Well, I'll tell you what, you could have made some money today if you put you went to Bet Online and you put down on Alba Fire and Isle of Dawn to win the women's tag team titles. You could have made some bank.
The only people to win in their hometown today.
Look, hey, that's one more than I thought. I had him going a big goose egg for four. And the second that I thought Drew had the best shot. And then the second that Alba and Isla won those tag team titles, I'm like, oh, Drew's done. Drew's toast. We're getting Punk. And look, all I'll say is I get it. It sucks for Drew. It sucks for the hometown. But it's going to make SummerSlam so much better, the fact that Drew is not the world heavyweight champion right now. Trust me.
Bro,
you're going to realize I'm right.
Drew McIntyre's on the edge.
One day he will win a main event at Clash at the Castle, and it will be glorious, and we will all rejoice. Maybe it happens in 2025. Maybe it happens in 2026. He needed to get screwed. Life's all about timing. All right, life is all about timing. It's not the right time for Drew McIntyre to be world heavyweight champion. Although I don't blame me if you think it is.
I gotta tell you, at this point, the only way Drew's life is getting worse is if Joe Hendry show up.
I hope that happens. I genuinely do. I hope he show, like, I hope Drew cuts like this master promo in the middle of the ring about how pissed off he is, about how he got screwed, and he's calling out CM Punk, even though Punk said he wasn't going to be there because he's going to go to the doctors and this stuff. And then Joe Hendry comes out, and then Joe Hendry just gets, in true TNA fashion, Joe Hendry gets murdered.
No, Joe Hendry not getting murdered no more. Joe Hendry with Ace Steel right now. He was CM Punk's boy.
Oh my God. No, he definitely is getting murdered. Are you kidding me?
Oh yeah.
Definitely getting murdered. All right, we got the TNT ladder match qualifier. It was Dante Martin defeating Lee Moriarty. Look, Dante Martin had some slick moves. I mean, he always does, but like this man took a kip up off the floor, and before he even finished one motion, flipped it around and did a head scissors. Like, who does that? Like, who has that kind of athletic? Like, that man literally can fly. That man can bend in the air and just change his direction. Like, it's stupid. Then he hits a drop kick through the turnbuckle. I mean, he ends up getting a win with a frog splash. I think Lee Moriarty was fine in this matchup. And like Nigel even said, if it was based off of points, Lee would have won that. I'm like, you sure? You really sure? Because every note that I took from this match, I was like, God damn, Dante Martin is legit. I don't remember writing much about Lee Moriarty. I like Lee Moriarty. I just think Dante just shine brighter in this one. And I think they made the right call putting him in this ladder match, because we know what this guy can do. And you're going to put together a ladder match for the TNT championship, you need a guy like Dante Martin in there. He's going to show out at Forbidden Door. I don't think he wins, but he's going to show out.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, like I said, Nigel McGuinness said that at the end of the match, that when you have a ladder match like this, you absolutely need guys like Dante Martin, considering you have Takeshita in there, Briscoe, who is not as much as a high flyer, but can fly. You know, you've also got Jack Perry. Lee Moriarty did his best to make sure Dante stayed on the ground. Because even though Lee looks like he's a high flyer, that's a technical wrestler,
yeah,
right?
That is a
ground and pound. I've got you. That's a stretching. It was a great duel of styles. But Dante Martin, and I think Top Flight as a whole, is just so deserving. So deserving. Kind of like House of Black, along with what's that other team? That's purple. House of Black. Negative One. Oh, my God. What's the name of that group? Dark Order.
Dark Order. I was going to say it, but I was like, are you going to get it? Are you going to get
it? It was on the tip of my tongue. But yeah, like, no, like, I want everything good for Top Flight. They deserve trios champions. They deserve TNT champions. They deserve tag team titles. Because every time when they finally get a good run, the other one getting injured. You know what I mean? So
yes.
I think this is a good, this is a good way for them to do something. Even if it puts Dante in a position, let's just say he wins. This gives Action Andretti and Darius something to do besides trio. You know what I mean? So I'm not mad at it. Shane Taylor's a bully. I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah. And so here's the thing. And this is what I was talking about earlier, because Leo Rush was the one who got beat earlier. And look, obviously Blackpool Combat Club and Shane Taylor Promotions, they're on different, you know, levels as far as hierarchy and, you know, mid card, top card, all that, whatever you want to call it. But Shane Taylor Promotions, they have Top Flight taken out, beaten down, out. It's a no contest. And then you get Leo Rush's ass who comes down there and he takes out all three of these guys by himself, like Spider-Man. Like he comes out there and pulls up. I'm like, hey man, where was the Spider-Man shit in the match earlier? Like it just felt like this should have been on like the next week's show. Like
I feel like that is something that is indicative of Leo Rush's whole career. No matter where I cover this man, he's so talented, so fast, so quick, so fluid. But where is this in the match? I see this at the beginning of the match, and if something goes down afterwards, and I hate his booking. I hate the way that they book him because he's so good. I hate the way that he's booked no matter where he goes.
We have Kyle O'Reilly and Anthony Henry fighting, and this one was another fairly quick match here. Kyle O'Reilly gets the win with the cross arm breaker. I think Anthony Henry did maximize his minutes in this one. I thought he had a couple of nice moves. He tried to tell a story inside the match as well. I think he had a head scissors that was locked on Kyle O'Reilly at one point, and he's just sitting there in the middle of the ring, like flexing, like, yeah, this ain't nothing. The thing I loved about this is that, Cresta, we got an explanation tonight about Roderick Strong kicking Kyle O'Reilly's ass in Northern Kentucky back on April 13th. Because as Tony brought it up on commentary, as we brought it up on the show, it's like, did we just forget that, you know, these guys beat up Kyle O'Reilly for no damn reason?
Like y'all jumped him, bro. Like, it wasn't just like, hey, you did too much in the ring. No, you jumped him, bro.
Yeah, you whooped that man's ass. And then, like, everything is just like, I don't know. Yeah, we're friends. We're kind of, you know, we're respectful for one. I'm like, you beat his ass. What is going on? We find out that, you know, Roderick is saying it's all tough love. He's got no problem beating up this man. Like, because there's an 8-man superstar match. They're going to go one-on-one with each other. Or they're on two separate teams for an 8-man tag. He's like, I got no problem beating his, you know, beating him up. We jumped him because we needed to remind him who he is. We think Kyle is missing something or someone. And they were just trying to send a little bit of a message. I don't know if look, it's 100% bullshit, but I give them props for trying, Cresta. I give them props for trying.
Gaslight, gatekeep, math teacher. I can't stand you, Roderick Strong. I cannot stand you. I also have no notes for this match. I literally wrote Kyle O'Reilly versus Anthony Henry, Roddy in the Kingdom on. Oh, he tapped already. That's literally my notes. I mean, I feel bad for Anthony Henry and anyone who's part of their workhorsemen, because when they're together, people give them their respect and these guys can really wrestle. When they're apart, no one gives a rat's butt.
Yeah, when they're in singles matches, guaranteed 3 minutes or less. They might as well be fighting for the WWE speed title. Like they are not getting, they ain't getting a whole lot of time to shine.
Rickaford.
I'm just saying, they're in for a quick night's work. That's all I'm saying.
Not that we don't get paid by the hour.
They don't. Sign me up for 3-minute matches. I'm like Big E. Don't give me no work rate.
I don't want to see no 30-minute classic. I don't want to see no
Iron Man match. Throw that shit out the window. What you talking about?
Big meaty men or men of varying meat sizes, because we're inclusive here, are women slapping meat. I don't want to see a 30-minute classic. I don't care about that. get that Bret Hart shit out of here.
I don't even want that. I'll put me in a 20-man over the top rope battle royal and have me be the first one out. I don't even
not
give a
too
damn.
Hard truthing yourself. You'd be like, you know what? Let me just go ahead and.
Yeah, I'm just gonna. Yeah, exactly. I'll Drew Carey myself and make sure the check cashes. Thank you very, very much. I did my job for the evening. The main event was House of Black versus the Bang Bang Gang. This one, look, it sucks for obvious reasons. Buddy Matthews clearly hurt himself at a spot in the match where he was just absolutely on fire. This man was cooking, comes off the top rope and hits a meteora, and you knew something was wrong immediately. He slams his fist down on the ring. He knew something was wrong. He's immediately talking. I forget who he was trying to pin at the time. It may have been Juice. He's trying to pin Juice, and immediately he's whispering like something's wrong. He tries to stand up. He can't. He immediately falls down. He has to roll over and he has to tag in Malachi. Then they immediately go to break. We come back and Buddy's being, you know, it's a great hat. It's a great hat you got there.
I'm getting disrespected in real time, in 4K. Cause she wants food now. This is what happened last time when I was doing the show last night. She was like, this wrestling is taking too long. Make with the canned food, mother.
If we did this show in the afternoon, it would be the same, but it would be toddlers who would be coming through, you know, the door. Dad, can I have a snack?
I can see.
Can I have a snack?
Daddy, I don't care about Stone Cold apples.
Oh, I don't even know where the hell I was. Yeah, Buddy's getting help to the back. Crowd chanted for him. He did not come back into this one. Bang Bang looked to have this locked up until Pac shows up and gives Malachi enough time, open window there to hit one of the ass boys with a big kick for the win. Look, I enjoyed this match. Unfortunately, Buddy getting hurt. This one kind of sucks. I mean, I'd like to think it's a work, as some are saying in the chat, but just the way that people reacted to it, the way he reacted to it, I got a feeling it's a little bit more than that.
I agree. I want to believe that he's a master seller, and I have been fooled by the likes of Leo Rush, Nick Nemeth, Kyle O'Reilly before, because these people be looking
Randy
like
Orton dying. Is another good one.
Yeah, and I think that they're literally dying, but I unfortunately him not. I think that end scene that we saw was pre-recorded. Let's start there, and I also. I want him to be fine. I'm knocking on wood. Jesus, whatever space, whoever.
Especially but because this match was they won it. So now they got a trios opportunity. So you don't want that to go by the wayside. You don't have to switch things up and change the story or bring somebody else in or what have you. So
Pac fits in seamlessly, but
sure he does. Yeah.
In storyline wise, if this is the guy who's replacing me so my team can get a trios title, that's cool. But if I'm Death Triangle and I'm Penta and I'm Phoenix in Spanish, I'm like, betrayal, un scandalo. What about me, bro? You helping the next people. So if you help them, we're next, right? Oye, como va? We're next, right? Don't play with me. Don't make me have to cuss you out in Spanish, sir.
Okay, now my feed did cut off early. So did I miss something here with the patriarchy and Buddy Matthews?
All right. So at the end, there's a big bust up. Malachi hits the end on
It was one of the ass boys.
Yeah, on Colton. Yeah. And Christian Cage comes on the Titantron and says, look at you guys. I'm glad you guys won. That means you've got a trio title shot. Too bad you're not a trios anymore. And it shows Buddy Matthews with an appeared concerto. There's a chair behind his head, the chair in the hand, and Malachi and Brody run to the back to go and help. But that was the end. That was the end of the show. That was
yeah,
it.
So I missed the Christian Cage angle, which may make me rethink whether it was a work or a shoot or not. I don't know. It's wrestling. Things are blurred. But that was if that was a sell job by Buddy, he sold me down the freaking river. All right.
Yeah.
That was,
Yeah, I believe he busted his whole knee open again. I hope that's not the case. But if there was a report that said his knee exploded, like, I believe it. I believe it. Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah, wholeheartedly. Overall, what do you think, Cresta, as far as a one-year anniversary? This show has changed a lot since we started doing this show over a year ago. I mean, we thought we were getting CM Punk Central, and that lasted for what, 3 months?
It lasted 3 business weeks. I'm not going to hold you. I have had the privilege of getting to know you and Iridian. Iridian, rest in peace. She's not dead. She's just not here. I hope
she was also taken out by the patriarchy.
She too was taken out by the patriarchy. But no, like it has gone through so many identities. And I feel like you said, going from the CM Punk era to like the Danielson FTR era. No. Yeah. CM Punk, BCC, Danielson, FTR era, and now we're the best wrestle era. I'm not mad at it. You know, it is a proof that wrestling is resilient. People are more into it now than ever. I remember like, if CM Punk leaves, no one's going to watch Collision. And look at us. Look, let me go ahead and refresh my YouTube really quickly before I say something overzealous. And let me just get this number right. Look at all of us, 228 of us now on YouTube talking about a show that people said their numbers are dead. I'm happy for Collision. I'm happy that this is the direction that we're going in. I'm happy that there's places wrestlers can go. I'm happy that it has its own identity. My only complaint a year after the fact, and this is what I was complaining about when CM Punk first came in, I do think it is time for a brand split, LOL. I think that there are too many players at the top of the chessboard across all three, Rampage, Dynamite, and Collision, where you kind of need to do tag over here. This over here. So everyone who we're complaining about, your Ricky Starks, your FTRs, your Malachi Blacks, your House of Blacks, your Death Triangles, even the Guns, Jay White's, everyone can have something. You already have a million titles. You know what I mean? You could put the All Atlantic one place. You can put this other. That's my only complaint. Besides that, Tony Khan, you ate that. This was a good show for a year. This was overall, I'm very happy Collision exists. Don't make it 3 hours. Don't make me fight you.
That's the other thing that I was going to say is like, do the brand split. What do you do with Rampage? Do you just make that like an extension of one of the shows? Do you move Rampage? Do you just go away with Rampage? It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the next TV rights deal and how that is going to restructure things, whether or not they stay on. Look, please stay on Saturday nights. That's great. That's fine by me. But whether or not they take Dynamite to 3 hours, because they have such a deep roster, right? They have such a deep roster. You could carry a 3 hour show and get more people on television. You get more of your now stacked women's roster on television. And I agree with you. I think a brand split would work wonders. And I think it would help the audience with Collision, because if Collision was the only place that you could see somebody like an MJF, if it was the only place you could see Jon Moxley or Bryan Danielson or Mercedes Moné, like, that would draw more audience, and you could get the numbers back up over, what was it last week? Like 400,000
or whatever it was. They've got the star power across all of these things. I don't think it should be 3 hours. I don't think any wrestling show, unless you are a pay-per-view, let me be clear. I don't think any television program should be 3 hours unless you are a pay-per-view. That is a lot of wrestling. And sometimes it blows by. And other times it's like, holy shit, it's only 8:30. I want to dock. I don't think it should be 3 hours. If it has to be 3 hours, you got extra programming for next week. You know what I mean?
Right.
I see people in chat like, no, not a brand split. But like, I agree with Rick in the sense, if there was a place where I know if I want to see Mercedes, I gotta watch Wednesday. If I want to see Julia, I gotta watch on Saturdays. It's the same way, like, if you want to see Athena, you gotta watch Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor, yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, to give them a strong identity. I think before it was, we're not sure where people are and people land, but you've got enough up-and-comers. Whatever you guys are doing with your tournaments, fantastic. You did something special with Daniel Garcia there. And now I want to see Daniel Garcia every week. You have an amazing thing with Hook and Joe. That's some Training Day shit. You've got this. I think now is the time we need to look forward and say, hey, I want to make sure enough people get enough TV time, and not just having, respectfully, not just having Orange Cassidy be your All-Atlantic champion for till the end of time. That's it.
plenty of TV time to go around. Are you saying you want more Jericho? Is that what you're saying?
Now that I have come. I can't say that. Sorry.
All right, Cressa, where can the lovely people find your work?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages and everyone in between, you can catch me here on Thursdays and Saturdays covering all things TNA Impact with Joel Pearl, and on Saturdays with Riccacino and Iridian covering all things Collision. If there is a TNA special, myself and sometimes Steven Jensen and Joel Pearl will be here, all on Fightful. You can find me over on X at Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion, and there's a link tree in my bio. I'm on not Facebook, that's the only platform I don't have, but I'm on Instagram, Twitch, Twitter, TikTok. You know, go ahead and follow your girl. Like I said, there's a link tree in my bio. You guys are fantastic, and thank you for fucking with us for a year. I'm swearing a lot. The pirates are coming out, but thank you guys for colliding with
us. After 11, we're fine. It's after 11, we're fine. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Rick Uccino, like you see it spelled on the screen. I got plenty of stuff that I got coming out of pro wrestling world, interviews, things like that for cageside seats.com, SB Nation. You can find me here every Saturday night on Fightful, colliding with Cresta and Iridian. And yeah, I also cover Cincinnati sports for 700 WLW, for Sports Illustrated, Sirius XM. So if you're in the greater Cincinnati area, you want to cover my work, there's reasons to follow me as well. Do we have any more super chats? Any more humper chats? We do not. We out. Hopefully all three of us will be back next week as we start year number two.
Yeah. Year number two. Two more years.
Take care, guys. Have a great rest of your weekend. Happy Father's Day to everybody, but especially Christian Cage.
Happy Father's Day, because you bitches are my sons.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.